And your eternal security is what comes off his lips when he says your name and when you say his. It's the best feeling in the world to confess him as Lord.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
Well, amen. How about these two young guns up here this morning, right? Yeah. Some of y'all have watched them grow up here. So got a great band behind them. God, I already got a tear falling. They did such a good job. We've got several of our staff out today. If you can't see, I've got my inner Jeff Ponder on, outer Jeff Ponder on, right? The khakis. I'm trying, this morning. You won't see this very often from Caden Morrison. I got to be prepared to hunt birds at all the time. That's why I wear jeans all the time, all right? I got any time. And we got a bunch back here if you want to shoot some. They're back here. They're at the marriage retreat this weekend. We've got several out. I think Paxton, Tommy, Jeff is there. And so they're all back there. Jeff said it's been going incredible and it's been going really well. I think there's around 37 couples that are there this weekend. And so you get the honor and privilege of just being here today and getting to step in for Jeff today. We are taking the communion today together as a body. And so I really, as I thought about this in the 10 to 15 minutes that we have to talk for just a little bit, I think I take the Lord's Supper like real serious. It's real serious. I'm gonna let that sit on you for a little bit. So I think it's real important, if you want a sermon title today, how we prepare the table and how the truth goes out today. And a lot of times I think we come in here sometimes, we just think, I hope nobody asks me any questions. I'm just gonna take the cup and the juice and the bread, and I'm just gonna walk on. And guess what? That's okay. But when you dive into scripture and you look into what Paul encourages us to do, the Lord's Supper, he does not take lightly, does he, church? Amen. And every time that juice and that bread comes before us, if you are a believer in the room and you are in your sanctification process, you better believe that you better examine today. Amen? You better examine your heart and where you're at and the things that you're doing. It's not just the formality or the tradition of taking the cup and the bread. It is about the inner things that are going on in your life, things that you need to get rid of, things that you need to get off of you, things that you need to talk to the Lord about. This is more than just the process. Amen? And so as we prepare the table, I think what God wanted to do for us is he wanted to prepare the table within us, right? It's to know what we've been given through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he wanted to know and wanted us to know, is that we have power in Jesus and what he's done through the cross and through the resurrection. When you think of the time that Jesus sat at the table with the disciples, that is not one of the times in history that you probably want to go back to if you don't like controversy. Can you imagine when he tells Judas, the one that just dipped the bread in the wine, you're gonna betray me? They're just reclining at the table. Peter, before the rooster crows, you're gonna deny me three times. You're gonna walk away basically from me. Peter loses his mind. Judas kind of doesn't. Can you imagine the tension in that room? And why would Jesus do something like that? Why would he create such a hostile environment of calling people out in the middle of those things? I want to tell you this. When you look at your sin and what it's done and the wreckage that it's caused, the cross is offensive. It's offensive to think what Jesus had to endure for us. And it's some people don't want to receive it. They don't want to take it. But I want to tell you this, your sin is more offensive. The things that we've done is more offensive. We were in debt. We owed a tax, church, that we couldn't pay. We could not pay it. There's no way we could pay it. And yet he died for us. And he came for us. And he prepared a table for us. Amen. So when we come into the room, I want to encourage you as the body to not take lightly what you're doing. To make sure you know the process of what's going on here, but more than anything, this becomes personal to you. It's not just a tradition that you walk through and walk out the door. God wants you to understand deep inside the core of who you are through regeneration, through new birth of what you have in Jesus when you confess him as Lord. This is a journey. It's not just about our justification. It's also about what? Our sanctification. And God wants to take us on that. I want to ask you four questions, and I want to describe these, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Four things that I want to point out in this. And I want to remind you, we have the command. The reason we do the Lord's Supper is this. We do it in remembrance of him. That's the command that he gives us. I want to remind you too, this is open communion. It's not closed. Jeff says this every time. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, the table is open to you. Amen? It's not about the church you attend. It's not about any of those things. If there has been a regeneration, if you have become a Christian in Jesus, right, and confessed him as Lord, this is an open communion here, right? Amen? It's what God calls us to. First question is, I want to say this. And these are questions that I think people ask sometime when you come in here. If you don't know who Jesus is today, or if you've been through multiple different style churches and different things, I want to tell you, you know where the knife is in religion and churches and everything is? It's God's word. Some of us believe men off of stages and off of certain religions more than we will go to God's word to see what God's word says. This is absolute truth, church. It's the truth. It's the knife that can cut through anything. And so if there's confusion, we can always go to God's word to know the reason we're doing what we're doing today. First question is this. I think people ask this. Can I come to the table? Can I come to the table? In Matthew, it says this. 11, 28 through 30, it says this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me answer your question for you. Can I come to the table? There is an open invitation for all to come. All who are weary and burden, come and he'll give you rest. He'll give you rest. So the question is, can I come to the table? Yes. Yes, it's an open invitation, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, right? It's an invitation to the whole world. God has opened the door. It is not sin. It's rejecting the gospel is what separates us, right? Rejecting who Jesus is. Our sin is a repellent and it tries to keep us away from him. But God's love, there is nothing, no height nor depth that can separate us from the love of God. Yes, you can come to the table. If you know who Christ is, if you come and you die and you allow him to give you rest in your soul, and there's a regeneration process that happens in your heart. Matthew talks about it. There are scripture all through the New Testament that all talk about of come, come. Jesus wants the world to come. He wants them to know who he is. The question is yes. So many people don't come to the table because of mistakes, because of unworthiness, because they're stiff-necked, they're agnostic, they're atheists, they're wounded, they're deceived, they're prideful, they're hopeless. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. Religion, self-works, self-righteousness. I want you to understand this, though. We are all in debt beyond comprehension until we trust in Jesus. There are multiple reasons to keep you away from this table and the things that have happened throughout your life, even maybe things that other people have done to you. But I want you to know, the cross has made it all right. He's made it new. All things are going to be made new. Amen. He gives you a new creation when you confess Jesus as Lord. He turns your heart. He regenerates. There's a new birth that takes place in you. The price for your heart has been paid in full by his blood at the table of the enemy. He has made a way in the midst of the debt of our sin. All that's required, are you listening? All that's required is your life for his, your sin for his righteousness, your condemnation for his grace. Why do we continue to walk away from that? It's free. You have access to it. The only requirement is to confess, admit, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Yes, you can come. Jesus wants you to come. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be. He's the greatest cleaner I've ever seen in my life. He knows how to clean up your mess. He knows how to clean up your mistakes. He knows how to clean up what you've made wrong so that he can make it right. That's who Jesus is. Second question is this. How did you get to the table? Maybe you're past that first part. How did you get to the table? If you got your scripture with you, turn to John. John 14, 6. It says in John 14, 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. How did we get to the table? The only way that we get to the table is through who? Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only way that we get to the table. Some of us have been taught in different religions and different things that there are other gods that can get you to heaven and to get you to a certain place. Some of us have been taught that a priest or that Mary or that baptism before regeneration and new birth is what can get us there. No, the only thing that gets you to the table is Jesus. Your confession to him, admitting, I believe in what Jesus did for me through the cross and through the resurrection. And we get lost. I'm not trying to overcomplicate things at all, but we get lost. Religion will do everything it can to keep you from the truth. Everybody's trying to figure out the universalism path to get to heaven. And I want you to know, there's only one way. It's through Jesus. I told you the Bible is the knife that cuts through the truth. I don't care what somebody has told you through a stage. When you look in the Bible, there is a scripture right there. If we have to sum it up, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through him. That's, if you want to argue, we can argue, but that's the absolute truth right there. Amen. That's how you get to the table. When you come to the table, there must be a personal examination of your life, though. How you got here, when you start thinking about it, there's got to be a personal examination of your life. I've said the word 3 or 4 times. Regeneration means to be born again, the new birth. Regeneration gives us the nature of redeemed children. It gives us this because everybody today, whether you're a believer or whether or not you don't know really fully what it is, but maybe you come in and you take the Lord's Supper because you think you're saved, different things. Everybody comes in today with internal strife. But not everybody has come in with the correct path to redemption and what that looks like. The only way you get to come to the table and how you get here is through Jesus himself. The other thing, if you'll turn Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, 3-9. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Am I reading to the body of Christ or am I not? Let me start over. Praise be to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us, church, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely given to the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, church, to put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and all things on earth, woo, under Christ, right? He's gonna make it all right, church, right? We won't have the strife that you feel today. We won't have the fear and the doubt and the things that are coming. Jesus is going to make it all right. All of it's coming. Amen. How do you come to the table? You come through Jesus. Amen. Whoo! It's the best way to come to the table. There is no confusion. There is no doubt. And your eternal security is what comes off his lips when he says your name and when you say his. It's the best feeling in the world to confess him as Lord, to feel the weight come out of you, and to know I don't have to go to bed scared. I don't have to go to bed, men, alone, thinking about how I'm gonna do all this on my own. You're not on your own. Jesus is with you. He's with you. And I wanna point out in that scripture, I think we skip over this. Our divine adoption that he talks about there. Did you see that scripture where it says right here, if I can clear up my eyes, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. He chose to adopt us before we even took a breath, before the foundation of the world was even created. Do you know how powerful that scripture is? Jesus has been thinking about us. God's been thinking about us since the beginning of time, before it even began. He's been thinking about the adoption. Our divine adoption is one of the most priceless gifts beyond the world that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? That he chose to adopt us in. Some of you, there may be Jews in the room. Most of us probably are Gentiles in the room. And boy, we better be thankful for the adoption. Amen? We better be thankful for the adoption of what he's brought to us as Gentiles. It's not about black, white, Mexican, all these other things, Asians. It's not about color. It's about Jews and Gentiles and what Christ did for both of those people. Amen? Amen. That's how we separate it. The world wants to get involved in all the chaos. When we sum it up biblically, we ought to be thankful as Gentiles that Jesus adopted us in. It's one of the sweetest, most priceless gifts that we've been given to know that we've been adopted in. When you look it up in the Greek, I don't know if you've ever looked it up in the Greek, but it means literally to place a son. Oh man, I love that. To place a son means that he takes you and he places you in his family. And he makes all things right. Some of you that don't have a dad or a mom, you can in Jesus. He places you in a family. He places you in a church family. He places you. There is nothing like adoption for us as believers. Make sure today how you got to the table is through Jesus, but also make sure you examine your heart. If there's unforgiveness in your heart today, if there's strife in your family, in your marriage, all of those things, don't just pass it by today. If your wife is right next to you, grab her hand. I don't care if the juice goes by. Grab her hand and look at her and pray with her and apologize. Wives, same thing for husbands. If you got strife with your kids and things that are going on, it's okay. It's okay that things are not okay. Amen, church? It's okay if you don't take this, and you've got to focus on what God's convicting you about. Amen? It's okay. Your response to him is what matters in this. He knows your heart. He knows where you're at. Let him make it right. One of the hardest things as an evangelist, and I'm almost done. One of the hardest things as an evangelist, the last guy that walked away from me when I shared the gospel, he was emotional. I was emotional. He's on the back road in Stinnett, Texas. And I thought for sure he was about to confess who Jesus is. I thought, yes, he's right there. And he walked away. He wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. I don't need it. And he got out of the truck. I think about it all the time. You know how hard it is when people reject the gospel, when it's so simple and it's so right there in your face, it can be hard. But it's so important that we understand how important Jesus is, and it is to come through him. That's how we come to the table. Amen. Third question, why am I at the table? This is one of my favorite scriptures. Turn to 1 Peter 3. You can amen through this one too. If you don't, I'm gonna be mad. I'm kidding, Carissa. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 12. I read these longer because scripture can speak for itself. It doesn't need Cade Morrison. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Amen, church? These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, we love him, amen? And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexhaustible and glorious joy. For we are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is one of my favorite parts right here. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, church, when they spoke of the things that were now being told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Why am I at the table? We are at the table because there is a proclamation and an anticipation of the Lord's return. It ought to be burning on us to proclaim the gospel. We don't hold back, church. You love people at all costs. I don't care if they wrong you. I don't care if it's horrible, if it's terrible. I get it that there is a process in those things. But we are called to love our enemy. Love people. Amen? The gospel is meant to be proclaimed through our lives and through our actions and through the things that we do. Because deep down inside, we are anticipating a return. He's coming for us. That's why we endure all kinds of suffering and trials. The proven genuineness of our faith is going to mean something in your work circles. It's going to mean something in your community, in your households. Your kids need to see that your faith is real, that you mean what you say in Jesus. People need to see that. It's not just a fluff. It's not just something you do to make sure that everybody thinks you've got your stuff together. Hey, one person in this room got their stuff together. I'm trying to parent. I don't got my stuff together, right? There has been strife. There has been struggle. There has been loss. There has been persecution. There has been war. There has been death to bring the truth of Jesus to us in communion today. Men and women have given their lives to propel the gospel of the old covenant to the gospel of the new covenant in Jesus. Are you a truth bearer? Does your life propel the gospel of the old through the new to people in your community? It has suffered greatly so that we could greatly rejoice in what Christ Jesus has done for us, for people to know that they are not hopeless. He is resurrected for them. Amen? Amen. Last question is this. Who is at the table with me? Philippians chapter 2, turn there. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if any of you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and of one mind. Verse 3 is real important. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Who is at the table with me? It's the other question. Who is at your table? Men, you are responsible for your wife and your kids and your family and the things that are there. You're also responsible for the people that you work with and the things that are around you. Women, also in those same categories and the things that we do. Who is at the table with you? Are you mindful of that? Because Philippians chapter 2 calls us to imitate Christ. Calls us. There must be, you listening to me, church? As we come to the table today, there must be a humble consideration of others. We must be thinking about others in the process of remembering Jesus and what he's done for us. We cannot take this and move forward and walk out today and not consider that. Amen? Jesus wants us to have a mindset, not only for what's in front of us, but also what's beyond us, what's be in our future, in our past, all of those things. Be considerate of people that are around you for the gospel. The purpose of this table today is unification, examination, proclamation, and glorification. Amen? That's what we're here today. Deacons, if you'll meet me at the table, we're gonna take communion. I try to hold together in this part, but there's nothing like seeing men right here. I want to say this. We're going to take the bread. We're going to think about his body today. We now come to this table to let us look back to Christ's death, to let us look in self-examination, to let us look up with the fellowship of Christ, to let us look around with fellowship with each other, to let us look forward, church, to Christ's return, and let us to look outward to proclaim God's words to others. God, we thank you for your body. We thank you for what it represents. I cannot believe that you would do that for us, that you would send your son to die for us, that you would allow that to take place. Allow his body to be mangled in the way that it was. But we are thankful for the stripes. We're thankful for all of it, God. We're thankful that we can take this bread and know that there's power in it. Jesus, we love you and thank you for all that you did and what you endured for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who am I? brought me in his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child.
It says this. Whew. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, church, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, as we think about his blood, it says in Exodus 24 and 8, and especially in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, Jesus' blood points to his brutal death in the atoning blood sacrifice poured out on the cross. Leviticus 17, 11 reminds us that life is in the blood, church. And in Hebrews 9, 22, it affirms, without the shedding of the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness. On that same night, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, and said, "This is my blood shed for you." Jesus, we thank you for the food, for your blood. We thank you for the nourishment that it brings to our life, God. Thank you that it's alive. It's not something to be passed over. Thankful that your DNA runs through me. Thankful for my salvation. And thankful for the power and the victory that comes with your blood. Help us to be reminded of that today as we take this cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 25 and 26, it says this: in the same way, after he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat and drink this bread and this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Aren't you thankful, church? I'm going to do something a little different because I feel like I'm supposed to. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath." Ooh, you listen in church. "But because of his great love for us, God, who rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, church, through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to go today and to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Amen.
How many of y'all are excited about what Jesus has done for you? Amen. Can we give him some praise this morning? Amen, amen. Well, just a few announcements, and then we'll get you out of here today. Number one, today is the last day to sign up for the Discover Purpose small group. Begins next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. out in the student building. You can do that right out here in the Connect hallway. And then also, at the end of this month, we've got our big fall festival happening. So if you would like to set up a booth out there, set up a trunk for our trunk or treat, or do any of the games or anything like that, please go to Guest Connect. You can get signed up there and register there. Justin, I'm going to go ahead and have you come on up. Justin's got something to say, but I'll let him say something, and then I will finish this up. Sound good?
Hey, good morning, church. If you hadn't realized, it's October. That's all I wanted to say. No, really, October is the month that we set aside to appreciate our pastors. And let's go ahead and do it right now. I know you can give up something there. I saw something this last week. I shared with our life group on Wednesday, and I want to share it with our pastors and with you and then give you a challenge to do this. It's one thing to be surrounded by good people, and we are surrounded by good pastors. It's a totally different thing to be supported by our pastors. So what I want us to do throughout this month and every month is not just surround them, but let's support them. In order to do that, you've got to pick up something for them. You got to come up underneath them and pick up something that they're carrying. So that's my challenge to you this month, is visit with our pastors. See what it is that they need support in, and let's do that to show our appreciation for them. So there's your challenge. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. Can I have you stand this morning, church? Just receive this blessing as we walk out the door today. And again, it's just a prayer that we always pray over you, and it's, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. We just pray that it guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Guys, you're dismissed. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you back next Sunday. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland Online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word PRAY to 806-557-1000. 1-800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit, and we look forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.